The first thing is you have to realize we're in what we would call, like, it would be defined as a rural area. Okay, like, I live in a village of 2,000 people. Beldun is around 2,000 people. Jacket River, the biggest city around here is Campbellton, and it's not even 10,000 people. And the history of the economy has been one around resources.
But just to focus on the contaminants that Bennett will be treating in Beldun, where do the hydrocarbons and where do the other contaminated materials, the contaminated soil that you'll be dealing with, where do they come from?
Well, they can come from all over North America. They could come from Beldun. They could come from elsewhere in New Brunswick. They can come from elsewhere in Canada or in the States. We're going after a North American market.
Well, it's the view of the Conservation Council that importing hazardous waste and burning it is not a solution to how to deal with hazardous waste. I think we believe that hazardous waste should be destroyed where it's generated, and it should be destroyed with the best available closed system technology, which does exist, so that we are not generating any emissions.
Earlier this month, medical doctors in New Brunswick held a press conference about their opposition to a proposed incinerator to treat contaminated soils in Beldun. Nearly a dozen physicians joined together to denounce the human health risk assessment for Bennett Environmental Incorporated's proposed plan. The doctors are calling it bad science. On December 8th, another coalition held a press conference in Montreal to alert Quebecers to the potential pollution that has already mobilized tens of thousands of citizens on both sides of the Quebec-New Brunswick border. Luc Poitvin of Environment V asks, are we raising culture in this rural area of New Brunswick, or are we creating industrial waste sites? At the December 8th press conference, Mr. Poitvin spoke about the impact of industrial waste sites on the fishery, agricultural, and tourist industries in the Maritimes.
Moi, je suis Luc Poitvin. Je suis de la table de concertation agroalimentaire de la Gaspésie. Et je suis également, mon organisation est membre de la coalition qu'on a appelée Retour à l'expéditeur, compte tenu que ce qui est prévu de brûler là-bas, ce sont des déchets en provenance des États-Unis, d'où le nom Retour à l'expéditeur. Voilà, en gros, le déroulement de la conférence de presse aujourd'hui, c'est bien sûr de vous exposer un peu en quoi consiste ce projet-là. J'imagine que pour plusieurs d'entre vous, vous le connaissez, mais c'est possible aussi que vous ne le connaissiez pas. Je peux comprendre ça. C'est la raison pour laquelle nous avons décidé aujourd'hui de faire un point de presse à Montréal. C'est bien évident que la Gaspésie, on a fait 10 heures de route pour se rendre ici, donc la distance fait en sorte que c'est pas toujours facile d'être couvert, malgré le fait qu'on a eu une excellente collaboration, il faut le dire, de plusieurs médias nationaux dans le dossier. Donc, au départ, on va y aller sur une brève présentation du dossier, en quoi ce qui concerne. Deuxièmement, on va aller sur la base de son impact transfrontalier, parce que, pas parce qu'on se désintéresse du Nouveau-Brunswick, mais compte tenu du fait qu'on est au Québec, la raison pour laquelle on est aujourd'hui ici, c'est vraiment pour exposer l'impact que ça pourrait avoir sur le Québec. Et finalement, vous briefer un petit peu sur les différentes actions que nous avons faites pour que nos élus, il ne faut pas se le cacher, ce sont nos élus qui ont le pouvoir de faire quelque chose avec ça. Donc, quelles sont les démarches que nous avons entreprises là-dedans? Donc, on va y aller brièvement sur la présentation du projet. Ce projet-là est piloté par une entreprise qui s'appelle Bennett Environmental. Cette entreprise-là opère déjà à Saint-Ambroise un incinérateur de déchets toxiques, Saint-Ambroise au Lac-Saint-Jean. Cette entreprise-là a également une base d'opération aux États-Unis, mais qui est à toute fin pratique juste sur les livres. Le gros de ces opérations sont faites au Canada. À l'origine, le siège social se situe au Canada. Et ce qu'il faut dire aussi dans le cas de cette entreprise-là, c'est qu'elle a essayé de s'implanter à plusieurs endroits au Canada pour finalement aboutir à Beldun. Pour vous donner juste quelques exemples, dans les années 90, Elle a essayé de s'implanter dans une région de la Colombie-Britannique qui s'appelle Sumas, où finalement la construction avait démarré et où, suite à l'implication du ministère des Affaires indiennes qui a demandé une évaluation d'impact environnemental, ils ont décidé de plier bagage. Par ailleurs, ils ont également, l'an passé, essayé de s'implanter dans une zone minière du nord de l'Ontario qui s'appelle Kirkland Lake. Et encore là, suite à la mobilisation de la population, des milieux d'affaires et des milieux en général, ils ont encore là décidé de fermer les livres à cet endroit-là. Donc, le dernier épisode de Bennett au Canada se situe à Belle Dune. Le projet de Belle Dune, comme tel, prévoit la disposition ou l'incinération de déchets toxiques en provenance des États-Unis. Le premier contrat que nous savons qu'ils ont, c'est un contrat de 300 000 tonnes de sol contaminé aux hydrocarbures et au créosote en provenance du New Jersey. Le choix de Belle Dune comme tel repose bien sûr sur le fait qu'il se situe dans une zone maritime où donc on pourrait, la compagnie peut à la fois apporter les déchets comme tels par voie maritime et elle peut également le faire par voie terrestre. Le promoteur, compte tenu du fait que s'il y avait transport maritime, ça impliquait une implication du fédéral, il a dernièrement dit qu'il ne ferait plus de transport maritime. Cependant, sur le site Internet où c'est possible de voir le projet, ce détail-là, cet élément-là demeure toujours la possibilité d'un trafic maritime. Par ailleurs, pour parler de l'impact transfrontalier comme tel de ce projet-là, il faut vous dire que, bon, il se situe à 24 kilomètres comme tel de la côte gaspésienne. Belle Dune est située à 24 kilomètres de Caplan, juste de l'autre côté. Il y a donc une possibilité d'impact direct sur la côte par les émissions comme telles qui pourraient provenir de cette usine-là. Tantôt, je vais laisser peut-être M. Green nous parler un peu de l'étude qui a été faite comme tel pour documenter la dispersion des particules, mais on est définitivement très près de la côte. L'autre impact transfrontalier également qui est possible d'avoir, c'est directement sur le plan d'eau, vous en conviendrez. Et ce plan d'eau-là est situé directement là, entre les deux provinces et relève du fédéral. Par ailleurs, il faut que je vous dise également que la Gaspésie, depuis quelques années, nous avons ensemble, la société gaspésienne, fait un exercice de planification. Grosso modo, ce qui ressort de cette planification-là, c'est que nous misons sur notre principale richesse, notre environnement pour nous développer. Ça s'est traduit par des actions qui sont extrêmement encourageantes depuis quelques années, notamment au niveau du tourisme. Le tourisme qu'on veut de plus en plus axé sur l'écotourisme. Je n'ai pas besoin de vous faire un dessin concernant nos rivières à saumon. Vous les connaissez, ce sont des reines de rivières qui attirent des gens de partout dans le monde. On a également, dans le centre de la Gaspésie, un parc, le parc du Mont-Albert, qui est extraordinaire, la pointe de Forillon, Miguacha, qui est un site au niveau mondial comme tel, reconnu par l'UNESCO. Alors, au niveau du tourisme, c'est vraiment une tendance lourde que nous voulons nous développer dans le sens de la qualité de notre environnement. Par ailleurs, d'autres secteurs d'activité ont emboîté le pas, à savoir l'agriculture. De plus en plus, il y a un courant de développement pour se positionner au niveau de l'agriculture biologique, l'agriculture durable également, et ça a été inscrit noir sur blanc dans notre planification de développement. Sans compter que la baie des Chaleurs, comme telle, souvent on l'appelle une pouponnière, c'est un milieu extrêmement riche où il y a plusieurs espèces de poissons qui viennent se reproduire là. Et depuis quelques années, il y a des investissements importants qui sont faits du côté de la mariculture, c'est-à-dire de la mytiliculture, je devrais dire, la culture des moules, et également depuis plus récemment, la culture des pétoncles. Donc, de plus en plus, on voit que, en plus des activités traditionnelles de pêche que nous connaissons, que ce soit le homard, le crabe ou d'autres espèces pélagiques. Alors, comme vous pouvez le voir, d'un côté, on se situe dans un projet qui va créer 35 emplois et de l'autre côté, un projet qui risque d'en compromettre beaucoup.
Luc Poitvert described Bennett Environmental as a company on the run. After being refused a site in British Columbia, Bennett moved to New Brunswick. Florian Levesque, also a member of Environment V, speaks about the welcome Bennett has received from the politicians in New Brunswick. He raises many questions about this toxic collaboration.
I'm Florian Levesque. I'm a person who's involved with a group called Environnement Vie, Environment Life. This group has been created when we realized the impact that Bennett Environmental is going to have here. And basically, we want also in the future to continue doing some work in terms of the environment because the people who are part of the organization have realized that without a proper environment, basically there's no life. So that's why we're called Environnement Vie because the two goes together.
One of the things that we hope to talk about within this documentary is sustainability. Not only sustainability of our environment, but the sustainability of our communities, but the industries participating in our communities. And you brought up Bennett Environmental.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about that organization, that corporation?
That corporation. Well, first of all, it's a corporation that has tried to establish itself in many places in Canada and also in a few places in the United States. The only place where they have succeeded in establishing themselves is in Saint-Ambroise, at Quebec, and they also bought an incinerator in Cornwall, Ontario. And in Kirkland Lake, their most recent attempt was in Kirkland Lake, and the Ministry of Environment in this province made check the human health risk assessment that they did and their dispersion model of their contaminants. And basically, what the Ministry of Environment in Ontario has realized is they sent them a letter saying that there was many omissions, many flaws, and many problems with the human health risk assessment they did there. And because of that, they refused to give them a permit or whatsoever, and they told them, go back and do your homework correctly. Now, this company, after seeing that in Kirkland Lake their project would not fly, they were approached, and I think that's a very important thing because they were approached by Business New Brunswick and the minister, and they met with these people, and out of these meetings, Bennett Environmental probably realized that there was a good opportunity to establish their company and their incinerator in New Brunswick because there's two things that they want to do. They want to do what they call a tire recycling outfit, which is Unisphere Waste Corporation, and then they've got this incinerator. But when they met with the minister, he probably realized that he could do business here, and the politician, which happened to be the conservative, were opening the door wide open for these type of companies because with the word environmental, they were saying, we're going to do good things for the environment. So they came here and they did some willings and dealings with the politician around here.
Florian, I'd like to talk about government complicity because it seems like you're pointing to a historical incident in which for 40 years the Ministry of the Environment has not been serving the people but been serving corporate interests. But before we go there, tell me a bit more about this region of New Brunswick that you're speaking about, the sort of history of this community, and why would it be targeted by these toxic incinerators, and what impact has that had on the environment, but also on the plant life, the animal life, and the human life, the community in that area.
The first thing is you have to realize we're in what we would call it would be defined as a rural area. I live in a village of 2,000 people. Beldune is around 2,000 people. Jacket River, the biggest city around here is Campbellton, and it's not even 10,000 people. And the history of the economy has been one around resources. So the first big companies that came here were first of all, it was a sawmill. It was the exploitation of the wood and all of that. And once the sawmill have basically cut all the trees, how big they were and all of that, it shifted in the early 20th century. A paper mill industry came. There's one in Attleville, there's one in Dalhousie, there's one in Bathurst, and there's also one in New Richmond. Also, during the 60s, in the Bathurst area, they discovered zinc and lead mine. So they built not a refinery, but a smelter to get all the lead and the zinc in the Beldune area. So you have, and to serve these company, the paper mill and the smelter, there's various little industry got together. Like, for instance, like there's some two chemical products in the area of Dalhousie, and one is providing, I think, chlorine-based products for the mill. And there's also, you know, like another chemical product. So they're supplying the mills with the chemical products that they need. So in other words, because of the presence of natural resources and the process to transform that, there's been some industry that have installed themselves in the area, and we're realizing right now that this type of industrialization has caused some pollution. But it was never really a concern for a lot of people for many years because, you know, it was providing work and, like, we were working there. And then, all of that was basically, like, seen as contributing to the economy. On top of that, you have the government of New Brunswick that has constructed two thermal generation stations, and they're using Orimulsion. And I think it's a lower grade of oil or coal, but I have not done a lot of research on that. So these two thermal generating stations are spewing in the air like a lot of pollution in the area. But, you know, like when you're born in this such environment, you know, like after a while you don't see the chimney. It's part of the environment, and like you don't ask yourself questions because you know you have some people or some family members that are working there. So you don't perceive that as dangerous for you because it's providing some sort of economy. But then, with the closure of the mine and the smelter in Beldun, there's these people that decided that they have to find some solution. But of course, you know, who wants to come in our area? It's far from markets, basically, like Montreal or Toronto, or it's a fair distance. So, like, economically, it makes transportation and economic reality probably difficult. So what can they attract here? Well, they can attract companies that are not interested in establishing themselves any other place in the world or in Canada. So, of course, you know, like, you've got these companies, and out of that comes this thing being an incinerator. And this company is rejected everywhere in Canada, B.C., in Taylor, B.C., in Sumac, in Kirkland Lake. It was difficult in Quebec, and it was difficult. They were not able to establish in the United States. So they find this place because there's a group of collaborative people, which is the government and some business people, and they want to bring this thing. But the Bennett thing is kind of like the thing that makes the things go overboard, and the people all of a sudden are realizing because they realize the danger for their health, and we already know like what the problems is for our health. And then, of course, we start asking questions, and the more we ask questions, the less answer we get, and the more they're trying to snake around the issues. And all of a sudden, you know, like there's all this kind of information that is coming out. And I think one of the key elements that made a lot of people realize, you know, the problems we were in is Noranda, the smelter, was monitoring its pollution that it was sending in the atmosphere, and it was falling on the ground. So the Ministry of Environment and the Ministry of Health of the government of New Brunswick had those information. They were sitting on it. It took the Conservation Council of New Brunswick to request these information and to obtain it through Access to Information Act and to receive it, and they made it public. And all of a sudden, you know, like it for all many of us, it was, what the hell's going on here? You know, like we've got a government that's supposed to inform us about all these things, and they're sitting on the information and they're not providing the information to the people. What's going on? And this raised, like, the concern of a lot of people. And after that, and tonight it's going to be this, the citizen organized, got some sample, made them analyze by a laboratory in Ontario, and tonight they're going to release, like, what they have found, like, on some schools and on their property, and that's the information that is going to be provided. And now the government is basically trying to improvise to pretend that they're starting to do something while they have been sitting on their big ass doing fuck all for the people. And so right now, you know, like, I think, like, they're in a huge mess. And I don't think that they will be able to get out of this this controversy, because like it's getting bigger by the day. And right now what we're seeing is that press is becoming interested, not only like on a local perspective or provincial perspective, but like it's like starting to reach the national level. And I think like probably, well, maybe like I'm speculating a little bit too much, but I think when the story, the full story gets out in national press, this provincial government is sitting on a huge bungle, and I think it's incredible what the people, us, we're going through with this kind of garbage. That's what describes it best. It's garbage. It's political garbage. It's environmental garbage, and they're planning to bring more garbage, toxic garbage here, you know, and I think like the people here will not accept that, and there's no way we're going to take the risk for the United States to do their pollution, and we're going to swallow, eat, and like breathe the danger and the cancer that they're going to bring here. There's no way we're going to accept that.
Inka Maleski, science advisor for the Conservation Council of New Brunswick, has conducted research on the contaminants in schoolyard playgrounds in the Belledonne area. She attributes this contamination to the operational history of industries in the community. She is also concerned that Bennett's impact assessment, which garnered them an operating license in Belledonne, did not include an evaluation of the existing toxins in the atmosphere.
My name is Inka Maleski, and I am the science advisor for the Conservation Council. My work with the Conservation Council has been focused on, for the past 10 years, on marine science issues. I'm a marine biologist, and I've been working in the Bay of Fundy, and more recently on marine issues in the north and eastern part of New Brunswick, which is in the southern Gulf of St. Lawrence.
Now, we specifically want to focus on the work of one company, Bennett, in trying to open up a toxic waste incinerator in New Brunswick. But this is not a new facility to the area. There's many other factories, disposal industries within the communities of New Brunswick. And I wonder if you can tell us about your work with the Conservation Council and some of the various issues that are leading to generating work for you, I suppose.
Well, the work that I'm doing on examining contamination issues in northern New Brunswick, particularly in the Belledonne area, is focused on lead contamination. Belledonne is a community that has, in very close proximity, several industries. One is the smelter run by Brunswick Mining and Smelting. Just a kilometer away is the New Brunswick Power Corporation's coal-fired generating station. There's a gypsum plant, and historically there was a fertilizer plant. So these are all were, and some of them still are operating. And it's the focus of our work, or my work, has been looking at the lead and other heavy metal emissions from the Belledonne smelter. Back in 1996 is when the smelter began operating. Health and Welfare Canada, as it was known at that time, did a bit of a health study or an assessment of the area, and they found that lead was coming out of the smelter stack at a rate of 5,000 pounds a day. Concerns clearly were raised by Health and Welfare Canada about these high emissions. And by 1975, these emission rates had dropped to about 1,000 pounds a day. And by 1990, they dropped to about 179 pounds a day. And today, they hover around 80 pounds per day. But lead isn't the only metal that was emitted from the smelter stack, and it was also not the only emission. Emissions were also to the Bay of Deschaleux, an important marine environment for the communities on the Gaspé Bay and New Brunswick coast. There's been a great deal of contamination to the area, and it's the focus of the work that I've been doing for the Conservation Council is examining just how extensive this contamination is.
And we'll get to the work of Bennett today around its own surveys that it's done in the Belldune area in its hopes to open a plant there. But let's talk a bit more about the history of the Belldune area. You said that the smelter's been operating there since 1966. What have the impacts been on that community in the sense of why was the Belldune area selected for this type of plant in the first place, given the sort of dependence that exists within that community on marine life? But in addition to that, what have the impacts been not only on marine life but on the community itself, and has that come up in your research?
Well, of course, the smelter was there because there is a Brunswick mining company that is Noranda operates a mine in nearby, and I think originally the ore was smelted at the smelter, but today the ore that is the lead smelter I believe comes in by ship from perhaps other locales around the world. The impact on to the environment, we know that there are high lead levels 2 to 3 kilometers and beyond the radius of the smelter. The impacts in terms of health impacts on the residents in the area, to my knowledge, no one has done a health study. It's something the Conservation Council has been calling for, and finally, just a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, the Minister of Health and Wellness in New Brunswick, Minister Elvie Robichaud, announced that a health study would be done in the Belldune area, which is good news. So to date, we just simply do not know what the impacts have been to human health. As far as the impacts to the marine environment, we know that sediments are contaminated. We know that shellfish have elevated levels of lead in the tissues. What is the impact of those elevated lead levels on the survivability or metabolism or the biology of physiology of these mussels or other not only shellfish but marine life? We don't know. It hasn't been studied. It seems the preoccupation has been on measuring contaminant loads, and very little work has been done on what is the outcome of a high contaminant load to these to marine life.
Now, you had mentioned that the Conservation Council has been calling for a health impact assessment, but there have been health risk assessments done in the area, and maybe we can talk a bit about how this all comes together in terms of these assessments and these surveys, not only from your perspective with the Conservation Council of New Brunswick, but also from the perspective of, say, companies or governments. Now, there's a company called Bennett that is seeking to open a toxic waste disposal unit in the Belldune area, and it was required by the Government of Canada to provide a health risk assessment. Can you give us some more information about that?
The health risk assessment was a requirement of one of the conditions by the Department of Environment and Local Government in New Brunswick. And the federal government has not had an involvement in this issue as yet, although there are interventions being made by various groups to try to engage the federal government to do, in fact, a full environmental impact assessment. The province required the Bennett Environmental to do a human health risk assessment as well as an air quality assessment. It was when these documents were released in June of this year, I noted as someone who reviewed these documents on behalf of the Conservation Council, that existing contaminant loads and emissions to the airshed were not evaluated in the human health risk assessment, which prompted me to make a request to the Department of Environment for any monitoring data that they had regarding the Belldune, the Brunswick mining and smelting operation in Belldune. It was that data that that we received that prompted another aspect of my work, which is to look at this lead contamination. But bringing this back to the Bennett incinerator project, we noted in the human health risk assessment that was done for Bennett that, for example, there was no data on the health status of residents in the Belledune area that would be put into their model, and then they would evaluate what the emissions from the Bennett facility would have, what effect they would have on the health of residents. If you don't know the health status of the residents in Belledune, and you are using some hypothetical values or numbers for to characterize the health of these people, it's going to be very difficult to make a reasonable assessment on what the outcome is going to be once these people are subjected to other contaminants. So that was one deficiency that we noticed in the human health risk assessment. The emissions that were projected to come out of the Bennett incinerator were not based on actual material that was going to be burned in the proposed incinerator. What will be burned in this incinerator is non-chlorinated hydrocarbons and creosote. The evaluation was done using test burn data that they have from their St. Amboise facility in Quebec. Bennett does operate a facility in Quebec that does burn material contaminated with PCB, among other contaminants. They had Bennett had originally applied in New Brunswick to burn PCB-contaminated soil. That proposal was changed after being reviewed by the Department of Environment staff to burning non-chlorinated hydrocarbons and creosote. But when they did the air emissions and the human health risk assessment, data from burning these materials, non-chlorinated hydrocarbons and creosote, wasn't factored into the model. They used the data from St. Amboise. So that was another deficiency. If you're going to evaluate what are the impacts on human health, then you really need to evaluate them based on what the emissions are that are going to come out of the stack, not emissions from some other facility. The other deficiency we found is that when they try to evaluate where these emissions would disperse in the local area, they used climate data, that's wind speed and direction data, from the Gaspé Airport, as opposed to using local climate data. And of course, that's going to have an effect on estimating where the air emissions are going to be dispersed and deposited. That was another deficiency. There were many, many deficiencies like this in both of those studies that, in our view, there was no basis for making a claim that there would be no impact on human health.
We spoke with Claude Carpentier, the Vice President of Business Development and Communications at Bennett Environmental. We spoke with Mr. Carpentier about the aims of Bennett Environmental.
One of the issues that we hope to bring out in the documentary that we'll be putting together on the situation in Belledune is we're looking at the entire community of Belledune. We're not just focusing on Bennett, but we want to understand the environmental situation there and the link between the environment and the sustainability of communities of people, but also the industries that come into communities. I wonder if you can talk about the work that Bennett is engaging in the Belledune area, in that community, within that environment, and Bennett's work around sustainability issues.
Well, since you're referring to that, that's a very good point. As you know, you cannot let contaminated soil unmanaged, because the contamination will seep in the ground and reach the underground water, and will not limit the contamination, obviously, around the perimeter of the site. Is going to expand at a much broader range. So part of the sustainable development is to be able to decontaminate the area and not create new contamination. And this is definitely what Bennett is doing. Also, you referred to an incinerator. We're not an incinerator because we don't destroy the soil. All we do is that we heat the soil in order to evaporate the contamination out of the soil. And once the contamination is in a vapor, it gets destroyed in a secondary combustion chamber, which is a where the thermal oxidation process takes place. So at the end of the process, all we did is that we removed the contamination from the soil, and by mixing that soil, which represents at least 90% of the volume that was there originally, once we mix that with organic matter-rich substances like compost, we can bring back the soil to agricultural levels and reuse it in a very safe manner. So in terms of sustainable development, we've turned a soil that was totally, that was dangerous, that couldn't be used, into something that can be reused.
And just
so that's typically what we do.
In terms of soil being reused, where does the soil go after? Does Bennett resell it or distribute it?
Yes. Well, until recently, we only had one facility in Quebec, and the government didn't allow us to use it otherwise than to use it as a daily cover in municipal landfills, because the material is extremely dry and it's totally free of contamination. So the only end use that we've been able to find was to for the municipal garbage, because you probably know that municipal garbage has to be covered daily to make sure that rats or bird or vermin doesn't get access to garbage. So instead of using good agricultural standard soil, they're using our soil, which is totally inert to do that. So until lately, we couldn't do anything else with that. But we convinced the ministry to do a pilot project where we've mixed pulp and paper sludges, which are really rich in organic matter, with our treated soil, and spread it over a field and grow grass on it, and it worked perfectly well. So next year we signed a contract with a local farmer where he's going to use 5,000 tons of that soil for agricultural use. And this is the first project that we've been able to close, but that's only the beginning, because for Belle-Dune, we are working with fishermen, for instance, to using fish compost or shrimp compost to mix it back with our treated soil, and we'll be able to resell that soil, which will be of agricultural quality.
Now, Bennett has the go-ahead for creating this incinerator, and you yourself have raised the concerns about, and the Conservation Council of New Brunswick have raised the concerns that perhaps there should be more studies done. What is the current status now of the Bennett project from your perspective?
Currently, the project in early September was given a permit to construct. But it was not, it still does not have a permit to operate, a license to operate. In order to obtain this license to operate, they had to apply under the Clean Air Act. The process there is a 120-day public review period. Now, this is not a review. There will not be public meetings. It's simply an opportunity for citizens to look at the conditions that have been identified for its operation, make comment on that, submit those comments to the Department of Environment, and the department will decide based on their own assessment, I presume, as well as that of citizens and other groups or organizations that submit comment, whether Bennett Environmental does in fact get a license to operate. Again, it's a 120-day comment or review period, and that clock started ticking, I believe, on November the 21st.
And just one last question, Inga, before we have to let you go. We are pre-recording this, and so there's a schedule for the time, and so only time for one last question. Given that there's no Canada-wide standard for these sorts of toxic outputs, regarding the health and safety of our communities, what role would you hope the Canadian government takes in future projects like this, or the role of our provincial governments?
Well, it's the view of the Conservation Council that importing hazardous waste and burning it is not a solution to how to deal with hazardous waste. I think we believe that hazardous waste should be destroyed where it's generated, and it should be destroyed with the best available closed system technology, which does exist, so that we are not generating any emissions from the destruction of hazardous waste. This is absolutely imperative. The contaminant load on the environment is already very high. We do not need and we do not want to see new contaminants being added to any environment. So in our view, the importation and the burning of hazardous waste is something we certainly don't want to see in New Brunswick, and I don't think any other constituency in North America wants to see it. It's interesting to note that there has not been another incinerator licensed in the United States since 1995, and it's my understanding that in Europe they are phasing out incineration of waste because it does generate emissions that could contaminate the environment. So that's what we believe needs to be the solution to the problem of hazardous material. Certainly not transporting around and destroying it in a way that is a closed system so that it doesn't generate any new emissions or new contaminants.
Inka, thank you very much for joining us as spokesperson and science advisor for the Conservative Council. No, Floria, you're working with communities in New Brunswick to stop this process. But what do you do to undo the 40-year history of work that the government of New Brunswick has been putting in and attracting these industries, which time and time again aren't bringing sustainable economies to New Brunswick?
Well, first of all, right now, the priority is to get this company out of the picture. That's the first stage of our strategy right now. And I think in the coming future, because the fact that we're realizing that there's some pollution and there's contamination, we live right into it, and some communities are more affected than others, to us, in the village I live 60 kilometers, I think it's probably less, but we don't have any documentation about where I live right now. But certainly I think what is happening in our area, there is an awareness on the importance of the environment. I can just give you an example for me. I was saying, I thought I was living in a little paradise on the planet Earth. Right now, I'm realizing that I was fooling myself. So the first thing is my mind is shifting, and I realize, and before this thing had happened, I would have told you, oh, yeah, I support environment, no problem. I'll send $25 to an environmental organization, no problem. But to go and tell you exactly what it meant, what my support was, I had a vague understanding of the whole thing. And I'm socially involved in my community, and I'm socially and politically involved. So I think in terms of the environment, I think that's most people will say, yeah, we support, but to give you an example and this and that, I could not have pinpoint exactly what it was. Now I realize that it's touching me in a sense that I had never thought it was. And I think in that sense, my mind has shifted. And I think, in our community, that's what is happening. And I think not only that, but I think in the media, the reporters and all of that, with all the research that they're doing, I think there's a mind shift that is happening in this area, and environment is becoming, a very important aspect of our life, because we have to protect it in order to be able, to sustain, living in the future. So I think we're going to work on the first level, which is to get rid of this company and get them out of here as quick as possible. And after, we're going to have to solve that. I think the community will probably get together, and we're going to work together in terms of finding a solution to have an economic development that is sustainable. There's a group that produced a document here. It's Battered Sustainable Development, and they have like documented like very interesting ways of doing some economic development. I, for myself, you know, like I'm producing, I've got my little garden, and I'm producing organically. And I think like there's many little things that can be done, but we're going to have, as a collectivity, to get together and discuss like solution to the problems that we have, and we're going to have to find solutions that are going to be good for all our community. But we're not there yet at this point in terms of community, because I think right now the threat is this incinerator, toxic waste incinerator that is moving in. So I think that's a priority right now. But in the future, I do think like it's this old thing, even though like it's very negative like right now, I think in the long term it carries like a positive aspect that is getting the people, because we're threatened right now, and I feel like we're attacked. So we have to like get together, and I think by getting together, there's a better sense after that of finding solution for our own community in the future.
Now, given that there's no Canada-wide standard for impact assessments to be done by corporations who want to move into an area, and that, you know, allowing Bennett to move from province to province until it found its space for exploiting the environment in New Brunswick.
Yep.
What do you think the lessons are for the rest of Canada or the rest of the provinces from this example?
I was discussing this morning with some people of who have like a more extensive knowledge of the environment, and like basically, you know, like he was telling me, you know, like we could file a complaint to NAFTA. Because what we have to realize, I think these companies are looking for a jurisdiction that is going to have the lowest standards in terms of protection environment. And after they have the lowest standards of environmental protection, well, then they can use that as a reference probably in the rest of Canada. So I think that's why, to a certain extent, what is happening here, and like they have found the perfect jurisdiction here, because New Brunswick has basically like no legislation, and the environmental law is full of loophole where these companies can move in and basically like probably do like a lot of what they want to do with like very, very minimum supervision. For instance, if I was talking with the director of the environmental office in one of our local area, and I was talking to him about like pollution, well, how do you monitor and like you make sure that everything like is according to rules and all of that? And he said, well, basically the way it works, when we've got tips from staff workers inside the various operation, then we go and we can do an investigation. So to me, when he said that, it was basically acknowledging that they're not doing any monitoring, and they're not like doing any surveillance of these companies that can do basically like whatever they want in this area. So I think in that sense, it's very important, because like NAFTA, I think, you know, like there's always like what they call like the ratchet clause in there. It means that once there's a standard that is recognized in one jurisdiction, it can become like the standard that will be recognized all over the place, and that the companies can invoke in defending their rights to do basically what they want. And I think in New Brunswick, it's a perfect jurisdiction for that. And that's why I think like it's we have to be very careful, and like everybody in the rest of Canada should follow very closely what's happening here, because if they succeed in doing it here, nothing prevents them from going in another place and invoking what has happened here as a precedent. Of course, the one element that they never control is the reaction of the population. And like Danny Pond, the vice president of Bennett Corporation, back in June, maybe a little bit earlier in March or April, was expressing that in the media. His concern was that if the environmental group were getting in there, it could jeopardize their project. And I think that's exactly what we're doing right now. So, I think like the example we can give for New Brunswick, don't count on your government to take care or to protect your environment and your health. You've got to do it yourself. And I think that's exactly what's happening here. It's the people that have taken like the issue in their own hand, and we are intent in making sure that like we're going to protect our environment, and we're going to protect the health, not only of us, of our children, which is the future.
Florian Levesque, you've been working with Environmental V in New Brunswick, and I want to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. Perhaps we'll get a brief update from you before we go to air with this documentary as the next public assembly is happening this evening.
Yeah.
But just by way of closure, is there anything else that you wanted to add?
Well, I think I've covered a lot of things. People have to realize, one of the things that is coming from most incinerators is dioxins and furans. I think here, the study that has been done, and Dr. Paul Connett, like a specialist from a chemist from New York State, came, and he said one of the things that the company did in their study, out of the 7 or 6 very toxic dioxin, they have only measured 1, so that the result could be like lower than any reference, the standard. The other thing that I've got here is I've got like a memo from the government of New Brunswick basically describing that dioxin, there seems to be no safe level for dioxin's contamination in the environment. And like the way it goes, it's basically, when dioxins like go into your system, like they remain in the human system, like they go in fatty tissues. And for male, there's no way to get rid of them. And for female, there's one way for female that they, or woman, that they get rid of them. It's when they get pregnant, they transmit that to the fetus, and after that with breast milk. So this company, I think, like basically what it's bringing here, it's like when I look at all the file, it seems to be like there's nothing associated with environment. It's on the contrary, what I see, it's most of the stuff and the documentation I'm reading about incinerators and all of that, it's basically they're bringing death. And I think like that's the issue that people have to realize. And it's not a Belgian, it's not a northern New Brunswick, it's not a Bay of Chaleur issue. I think the environment is like key to sustain our life as species. And I think like the message that has to get across in the mind of everybody is that if we don't protect the environment that we have, we're basically committing suicide as a collectivity of beings. And I think like we have to take to be very careful on the path that we're following. And I think that the industry have to recognize and accept the fact that what they're doing, and us as citizens, what we're doing, we have to transform our way of life in a major way if we want to survive on this planet.
Florian, thank you very much.
The New Brunswick Department of the Environment is currently holding an open comment period on issuing a license of operation to Bennett Environmental. Bennett has already won a license to construct the facility in Belledonne. Many of the community voices that you've heard tonight are participating in a campaign to send letters and comments to Brenda Fowley, Minister of the Provincial Department of the Environment for New Brunswick. You can reach Brenda Fowley by email, phone, and fax. The comment period is open for the next 60 days. Brenda Fowley can be reached by email at brenda.fowley.gnb.ca. That's Brenda, B-R-E-N-D-A, .F-O-W-L-I-E, at gnb.ca. You can reach Brenda Fowley, Minister of the Provincial Department of Environment for New Brunswick, at 506-453-2690. That's 506-453-2690. You can fax your comments directly to 506-453-3377. That's 506-453-3377. Again, the comment period is open for the next 60 days. To follow the campaigns working to stop the construction of this facility in Belledonne by Bennett Environmental, visit the following websites. BaieDesChaleurs.net. That's BaieDesChaleurs.net. As well as NoToxicWaste.com. That's NoToxicWaste, all one word, .com. The Toronto Star is currently defending itself against the lawsuit filed by Bennett Environmental
because of an article the paper published called Toxic Waste, a Burning Issue in a New Brunswick Town. The article was published on November the 22nd, and the date in court has been set for sometime in January. This radio documentary was produced in collaboration with the Prisoner X Radio Collective, a new initiative of CKUT's Community News Department. For more information on this initiative, by which prisoners are able to participate in creating media that is critical and necessary, please contact CKUT's Community News Collective. CKUT's Community News Department can be reached at 514-398-6788. You can also reach us by email at news@ckut.ca.